Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Adam Hart, welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate having me. Thank you.
The power of food.
Yes.
It's an extraordinarily powerful element in our lives. We need to eat.
Yeah.
But the way that we look, like, I wish I looked more like you.
Yeah.
It comes down to what we put in here.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your journey, because I get the sense that you didn't, like, that you weren't born into this.
Yeah.
You had to learn how to do it, which I think gives hope to the rest of us.
Absolutely.
Who might go, but that looks so
good. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I had a history of being very unhealthy. Right from a young age, having food as a reward for a lot of behavior. You know, I come from parents who are baby boomers, and there was this rise in convenience foods and understanding that everybody's busy. And in order to feed your kids properly, it's got to taste good, it's got to be economical and easy. And that's kind of the rise of what we've
with a big emphasis on easy.
Easy, for sure, yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, that led to me having a very poor relationship with food. And
How did that start to manifest itself in your own health?
Yeah, well, right from that young age, not really knowing that what I put in was going to produce a result. And I was diagnosed as ADHD, so attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, at about 12 years old and medicated. The experience for me back then was being pulled out of class, put in a separate classroom, told I had learning disabilities and so on and so forth. But I know now I had cola in one hand and a chocolate bar in the other for most of my childhood.
You were hyped.
So what's the potential outcome of that? And that continued for me. And as I got older, it just it perpetuated into more habits that weren't supporting my ability to feel good every day. And never realized that food was such a key link to me waking up feeling abundantly happy and healthy, and happy
so
I got there.
So you graduated from high school. Where'd you go from there?
I didn't know what I was going to do next. I got into York University in Toronto, and you know, kind of just followed the crowd. I didn't really have access to what I have now as far as the cognitive skills to really tap into what my passion was. What do I really want to do with my life? Especially at that age, many of us suffer with that.
Right. So what'd you fall into? What'd you wind up doing?
I followed a bit of a crowd that was doing a certain direction. It was sociology. I got into sociology. And, you know, it did teach me quite a bit around just understanding how environments work. And I struggled through university, but I made it through. Again, having a real disconnect to the power of food, which I know it would have been a much far more enjoyable experience, but managed to get through. Ended up going to postgraduate school and did a degree in business. Mm-hmm. But then I came out of there and was still unsure of what to do with my life.
So did you go to work? Did you go into the corporate sector?
I did, yeah. Well, I actually just joined a family business. It was the easiest thing for me to do. Interesting. I had occupational burnout at the age of 25, 26.
So by 25, 26.
Yeah.
And so you start burning out.
Yeah.
You talk about the power of food now.
Yeah.
What role do you think food played, or the kind of foods that you were consuming,
yeah,
played in you reaching occupational burnout at such a young age?
Yeah. And, you know, we feel it every day, most of us. It's a pretty rare number of the population who don't feel pressure every day, the stresses of our day, whether it's you know, our health in all different areas, our ability to have the career that we want to have, our relationships the way that we'd like them to be. Every day is about trying to perform at a level that's going to bring a result that we want. But yet the pressures really impact us in the ability to perform at a high level.
So how were you eating then?
But
what were the kinds of foods?
Fast food. Yeah. I actually, when I was putting myself to university, I was working at a pizza restaurant. And I was working my way up to the point where I was the manager of the restaurant. And it was a takeout outlet of the restaurant. And so being the manager gave me unlimited access.
Pizza.
And I ate a ton of it. I gained, you know, I was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now.
Wow.
The continuation of that was when I started to do the executive position. I still didn't know how to fuel myself. I know I needed energy, so I just went out and just ate empty calories. So that was a lot of fast food, a lot of bacon double cheeseburgers, and a lot of onion rings, and a lot of colas. My main source of fuel, you know, during the day to keep my energy up was chocolate bars.
So how much do you think that that diet contributed to you getting to occupational burnout, or were these parallel courses?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination effect of a whole lot of things. Lack of quality sleep, lack of proper hydration, a lot of coffee. Not against any of these things, but when we don't understand the combination of all that we're doing, we tend to seek outward solutions when so much of our solutions are inward. You know, the nutrition part, huge. The lack of emotional resilience. Every time I felt a feeling of frustration or anger, I didn't know how to deal with that.
So you'd eat.
So I'd eat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first thing most of us do, especially you think about in the workplace when you're a little bored at work or you just want to take a little break. What do we tend to do? We go eat something.
So here you are, mid-20s.
Yeah.
You're experiencing professional burnout.
Yeah.
What's happening to your health?
Well, so it was at that time when I went to my doctor's office, 24, 25 years old, and I was suffering with depression and anxiety, which came to its height when I started to do the executive position. And I lasted 4 years, and it was somewhere in that time frame where I realized how bad things were getting, but didn't know what to do to get out, and just kept it going. And when I went to my doctor and finally said, listen, I'm not well, I'm not thinking right, I'm very unhappy with my position and my results, and I can't see how I'm going to get out of this, what can you do for me? And he essentially said, well, Adam, first we have to take care of the fact that you're pre-diabetic. He told me my high cholesterol, I had high cholesterol, and proceeded to give me a prescription for Lipitor. And I'd already been on so many different medications for different ailments, and I just really hit that rock bottom moment. And walked out of that office and really realized there's got to be a different way. At this age, it's got to be something else available.
Okay, so what'd you do? Did you just go, I'm not going there any longer? Because making that shift is not easy.
Yeah, no.
You've built up habits over two and a half decades.
Boy, very ingrained. The program is set. And for me, it was really getting to a position of being unbelievably disturbed with my situation. It's nice when we're comfortable, because the monkey mind likes us there. It likes us to be comfortable because it takes away our power and says, well, I don't have to do it. I'm just going to listen to what everybody else says to do.
Well, it goes back to what you were talking about the food earlier. It's easy.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. And I wanted to take my power back. I didn't know how that was going to unfold, but I just made that conscious decision that said, listen, Adam, stop. Stop listening to what everybody else is telling you to do and start to look inward for some of the solutions and see how that plays out. And it's amazing when I made that commitment to myself, even just by looking in the mirror and telling myself, that's what I want to do. I want to own this and I want to look after myself. It changed the course of my history. And it started to bring to me the solutions I was looking for to start to feel better.
So I got to get you to hang on for a second here while we take a quick commercial break.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the charitable support of the following and from viewers like you. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and help us to continue to produce this program. Thank you. So, what did you start to discover about the diet that you were enjoying? Because yeah, it was fast, easy, tasty,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff, and it would give you brief rewards, versus the diet that you started to move towards. So, like, where did you start and what helped you like make that change?
Yeah.
Because you've got this ingrained habit, like the neurological pathways that force you to react in certain ways. To go here, you fail, go back.
Absolutely.
How'd you wind up like establishing a path that allowed you to ultimately make that your new way of life?
Yeah, and I appreciate the question. It was a certain sport that led to the discovery of the food, but it took a sport that gave me some passion. And me and a friend of mine were rollerblading downtown Toronto. We were both overweight, and we were both very tired of buying another gym membership. For me, a gym membership is an external solution. Mm-hmm. It's not looking inward to say to myself, well, what's going to give me passion around feeling good? Going to the gym never gave me passion, so when I'd miss a day, I'd get frustrated. And that just perpetuated the same physiological response that led to more cravings, that led to the wrong foods. So we were rollerblading downtown Toronto and stumbled upon a sport that changed my life, and that was indoor.
Not rollerblading,
no. Yeah. And this was back when rollerblading was actually a cool thing to do. but we discovered a rock climbing gym, an indoor rock climbing gym. And I went in there suffering with anxiety. I knew that I had a fear of doing this, but it seemed like a controlled scenario. And I got up on the wall and halfway up had a panic attack and you know, had all the symptoms of that and told my buddy, let me down. But something happened to me and I figured it out a little while later, but it was a connection to my breath in a way that I never had before, where I was starting to create a little coherence between this, my heart, and my frontal lobe cognitive skills.
Coupled with the fear of if I am not absolutely present, I could slip and I'm afraid of what the consequences could be.
It was as if for the first time ever, the 60, 70,000 plus thoughts a day were no longer there, which were mostly negative and perpetuating my inability to see what the real landscape was.
Negative self-talk is a big component in all of this, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
For me, so much of my ability to connect to my power came from connecting to my breath through climbing. And as I learned this and strived then to change my life, it led to me making some very drastic changes.
This is our second break. We'll only take a moment or two, and then we'll be right back. Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the charitable support of the following and from viewers like you. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and help us to continue to produce this program. Thank you. So help me understand how connecting to your breath is so important in climbing.
Yeah, well, it's everything. I know now that it's everything in how I perform as a father, as a corporate consultant, in all areas of my life. If I'm not connected to my breath and the coherence that allows me to think clean and clear, I'm susceptible to my addictive qualities.
Why? So what is it about the breath, being connected to it, that helps to give you clarity? Quiet those negative voices.
Yeah.
And allows you to move forward in a way that is productive and positive.
Yeah, well, and this is the neuroscience of what I've learned since discovering these pieces. But when you are under pressure, you create a very chaotic signal from the heart to the brain through what's called the vagus nerve. And that turns off the frontal cortex, the frontal lobes. Essentially, it makes us dumb. We start making bad decisions.
But we're responding to stress.
We're responding to continual stress, pressure after pressure. You know, it used to be, and I know we've heard this before, but 200,000 years ago when there was a lion that's going to attack you, you need to conserve all your energy to survive. Mm-hmm. So it's a human instinct for this to turn off because you need to have all your power. But now we're getting bombarded, and have been for many years, on so many different areas of trying to perform. Mm-hmm. But the pressure is hitting us in so many ways where this is not working for us. And so we're trying to produce different results, but we're still stuck here because we're not getting a clean channel of communication to use this efficiently. Mm-hmm. And that's where there's a very beautiful game that is available for all of us if we understand that that is the starting point. When we connect to our breath and start to clean this communication channel up, our brain works better. We make better decisions. Mm-hmm.
How do you connect to your breath? Give me the little exercise.
So absolutely, that will work. I call it mind rest. That's kind of, in my philosophy, my teaching, that's what I share with people. It's essentially creating a practice around noticing how you feel before you react. We are so reactive. For example, I used to suffer with road rage. For me, and that was my day-to-day commute, was in heavy traffic, and that's where I released a lot of it. And I'd build up the rage, and all of a sudden I'd be stuck for an hour in traffic, And I would respond before I even connected to the feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be gripping the steering wheel. I'd be yelling and screaming. I'd smack some things. And it gets to this point where we know that that's not the right response, the right action, and leads to poor results. Mm-hmm. So it's just as simple as, okay, in that moment when I feel the physiological response, the emotion comes in, and the heart rate starts to beat up, and the mouth gets a little dry.
Yeah,
just connect to my breath. And I do 4-7 breathing, so 4 in, 7 out. And that starts to reset the parasympathetic response, the nervous system.
Hmm.
So, and as it resets, it starts to change the variability of your heart rate, which then starts to create a cleaner channel to where all of a sudden this is actually turned on. And for me, this was the most critical part to my practice over the years, is understanding that it's as simple as stopping. Notice how I feel, engage my breath, and then recognize my two choices.
Mm-hmm.
I can continue to go and be frustrated, which I have freedom to do, or what's the opposite? And as I started to learn how to put myself in that mindful place using that breath, I recognized that I didn't have to choose this, I could choose that. And it started to lead me down another path where every action changed, every habit, which is coming from all your actions, and leads to different results.
Okay, so help me understand.
Sorry.
I'm hungry, the chocolate bar's in the drawer, yep. You know, the Coke's on the desk, and you know, there's pizza over there.
Yeah.
How does paying attention to my breath make me start to make better food choices?
Beautiful, beautiful. So now you're in that scenario where the chocolate bar is calling to you. You're getting a response from the body that's telling your mind, hey, you need some fuel. You need something to feel good right now. Grab that chocolate bar, grab that chocolate bar, get the chocolate bar, eat it, eat it, eat it. Stop. You're still allowed to eat it, but take a moment to just breathe into what is happening in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Already that changes the course. It's changing. Yep. It's changing the entire outcome of.
But I still have to. I have to have alternative choices.
Absolutely.
And if I've been in that, you know, high GI diet where I'm, you know, peaking and crashing because I've got insulin that's roaring
Absolutely.
Through my body and so on, my brain goes, what happened to all that sugar? I want more. Get it for me.
Yeah.
It has to be more than just saying, okay, I'm going to breathe.
Absolutely.
So what else do I need to do?
So, and that's where this starts to open up a different channel of communication and relationship with yourself, where it leads to you wanting to learn different and better and healthier choices, as opposed to going to Adam Hart or going to your doctor or whoever it is and say, hey, doc, what can I eat that's healthier? Mm-hmm. Because of the internet, we have access to anything we want information-wise. There is no reason why we can't just go and do a Google search that says, hey, what are some of the healthier sugar-stabilizing snacks available? You're going to see a million websites that are going to give you and empower you with better decisions. So the next time you're in that scenario with the chocolate bar, you'll know what your opposite is that's available. You don't have to choose it. It's the stopping and noticing that changes what eventually will become better results.
Food is such an important part of our life, and I want to keep going, but I got to take our final break.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment. Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the charitable support of the following and from viewers like you. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and help us to continue to produce this program. Thank you. So I look at you and you've obviously done it.
Yeah.
You're not 60 pounds overweight. You look incredibly healthy. And
yeah,
I can
appreciate it.
And I can see the clarity in your eyes and the color of your skin.
Yeah.
So you did it.
Yeah.
You went and created this book.
Yeah.
Because even at 22 minutes, we can't cover everything. But what are the superfoods as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, and this is the beauty part. So when you do start to connect to that extra clean channel of communication with yourself, then you start to add in the food on top of that. Wow, it's pretty amazing how everything starts to transform into a lot of abundance in all areas, all the time, all the things that we want to perform at. For me, I have some key foods that have been real powerful communication pieces, heightening my ability to connect to the power of my choices and my results. Number one, more than any other food for me, has been hemp seeds. It's the one that 15 years ago I discovered talked to me in the way that I wanted a result, mostly stabilized blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to feel sustained energy. So tired of getting the crash every day. And I've been doing speaking for many, many years now, and that's the number one result by far that everybody asks, hey, how do I have more energy? What do I do for more energy?
Hemp seeds.
Because
I thought that they were kind of a protein rather than a carb.
That's right. That's right.
And so how does that help me stabilize my blood sugars? Because I still need carbohydrates.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so what we are in North America in particular is very carb dominant. And we're using carbs as a fuel source, but yet what type of carbs are we choosing? Well, I mean, if you look at the typical diet, it's based off of a processed grain of some kind, wheat-based, more mm-hmm. than anything else. All the breads, all the bagels, the wraps, the cookies, the crackers. So
pasta.
The pasta. It's we can go into the by design idea, but that's essentially that's what dominates our grocery store. So when we need a little pick me up, that's what we crave. We mm-hmm. crave the dominant source of the nutrient we feed it. And you need carbs to survive, just like you need fat and protein. So for me, what I recognize is as I started to add in, not eliminate, and this is another big piece of the philosophy, is don't stop eliminating. Eliminating feeds into the pressure, and it changes the physiological response, which then turns this off. we need to lighten up a little bit. We need to start thinking, how can I add something in that's not going to create pressure? Because I don't have to eliminate the chocolate bar. But what if I added in some hemp seeds before, during, after? Because of the great quality protein, complete protein source, good healthy fats, it's all of a sudden going to take that simple carb of the chocolate, and even though it's going to spike, you're adding something in that's actually going to help stabilize.
And it's also going to introduce microbes into your GI tract that are going to be beneficial as well.
That's a beautiful world when you understand that. It's a little deeper for as far as the conversation.
But it's a reflection of what you eat.
Huge, huge. Yeah. Constant communication. It's a system. We're not just trying to fix, I'm overweight. I need to lose weight. Or I have a sore shoulder. I need to go, try and fix it or stop doing something that's damaging. There's so much going on at play that we need to look a little bit on top of it all and see it for what it really is.
So you lost the 60 pounds. What happened to your pre-diabetic condition?
Yeah, reversed that pretty quick.
Yeah. Cholesterol?
Cholesterol, yeah, absolutely. Pretty fast. Not that it's a cholesterol's a bad thing, but yeah, definitely you want to watch what you're and where you're getting your cholesterol
and
from.
ADHD?
Yeah, all of it has, I used to have food allergies as well. Was called fresh fruit syndrome. So I was highly allergic.
You had fresh fruit syndrome?
Had it. Yeah, apples, peaches, pears, plums, carrots, celery.
Because it was so foreign to your system? You would have an allergic reaction?
Well, the immune system was crashing on me back in, at 25, 26, getting a lot of colds, a lot of illness. And when you boost the love for yourself through the actions you take and build the immune response, everything changes.
So when you jump out of bed in the morning, and I get the sense that you jump out of the bed, how do you feel?
Yeah, well, I'm on a mission. I have a very strong purpose to share what I have discovered with others. So it's easy to get out of bed. And I have two young kids who are first and foremost are the ones who I am sharing this with just through my own actions.
You talked about all the 70,000 negative thoughts that you'd have. When somebody asks you now, how are you doing? How do you answer?
I think that it's just a feeling. I believe that people, when they are with me in any context, they feel it because it's all energy. In the end, that's what it's all about.
But what's your answer? How are you doing?
I feel really, I feel amazing. Amazing.
And I think that is vitally important because we're reinforcing that message that we feel great.
Well, and it's not an exterior, how do you look, as the weight often brings people to want to focus on. And it's about how do you feel? And if you feel great, then you're doing something right. If you're not feeling great, it's important to know that there are opportunities out there, but it doesn't come from external forces. Your results and the shift and the power of what you're looking for comes from internal environment. And when you start to learn the real nice, simple tools that don't disrupt the environment, but actually add power to it, that's where the better results come from.
Well, thank you for creating this message, and thanks for coming in and
doing this. I appreciate it. Thanks, Stuart. Appreciate it.
Thank you.